Okay, so we had an ESPN employee last time. We've got another one, and I am super fortunate to be joined by former content associate and now current stage manager, Jordan Banks at ESPN. Jordan, you were promoted to stage manager last month. Congratulations on that. And you are an Emmy award-winning camera operator for ESPN and SportsCenter. And we discussed this with the other Jordan actually last time, who's very talented as well. Amazing experience on the episode. And you have incredible experience with camera operating, and you actually attended Sacred Heart University, where you did more things that we'll discuss also have on here. And it's been a dream of mine, like I said before the episode, to always work at ESPN. So I can't wait to hear more about your life at ESPN, your job, how you got to the point where you're at. Jordan, welcome to Jackson Sheriff Sports Radio.
Jackson, nice to meet you. And yeah, let's get into it.
Super nice to meet you. So, Jordan, tell me about this incredible journey. How did you get to where you're at? Take me through the peak, I guess, a start to the peak of where you're at. How did you start with camera operating?
So I started, yes, like you say, at Sacred Heart University. It started out as just a class, you know. It was sports event production. It was like the first class I got when I got there. You worked on the football game, so I started out. They were just like, "Hey, what do you want to do? Camera operating, video, what is that? Audio? Do you want to be in the control room?" But me, like, I wanted to watch the game. So I was like, you know what? I might as well just do camera operating because I'd be on the game. And I had always been interested in camera operating and camera work and stuff. I, did YouTube and all that stuff. So I was always interested in camera work. So when I got to do it and like watch sports, because I'm a big sports fan as well, like I just fell in love. So, I said, maybe I could do something with this and then make it my passion. So slowly but surely started getting more integrated and the program, started recording like football practices and stuff, doing stuff on that side. And then ESPN, I'm from Bristol, so being in ESPN is just like, it's a layup. So I was like, why not? ESPN Next is the way. So I applied, got in, and then the rest is history. So
Totally. I mean, I love hearing that journey. And I saw on your resume and on LinkedIn when I was researching everyone from ESPN, I saw the work at Sacred Heart, and I saw the director of communications. Do you mind telling me just a little bit about that? What's that director of communications at Sacred Heart Delts? I don't know if that's a fraternity or what that's about, but let me know what that is.
So when I was at Sacred Heart, I was in a fraternity, Delta Tau Delta, Rod Delt. And that was basically like the social media chair and just kind of being like all things on the platform, like Instagram, Snapchat, you name it. So big thing was Instagram. And when we had started, we had had the old Delt Instagram, but we had since lost the password. So it was kind of just sitting there dormant for like, I think like 6 months where just no one touched it. So I was like, you know what? Let's just start up another Dell Instagram and start it from the bottom, right? So it was at 0 followers, and I got it my senior year. So we went from 0 followers to about, I think, almost 1,000. I think it was like 900 something off the first year. And I like that was like because of me and my partner, Andrew Ewing. I don't know if we'll ever see this, but if he does, shout out to you, Ewing. But yeah, we just kept it authentic, and I just became the director of communications and kind of painted the guys in a light, like just trying to show the positivity that comes from fraternities and building that connection and brotherhood. So that's another aspect of my communications, being on social media and all that. Just anything that had a camera, anything that involved the media, that was me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I definitely want to connect with you on social media, on Instagram and all that. See the cool content you produce, because I'm into all that stuff, the sports editing, the sports content, and I grew up around sports. So as you can tell,
Yeah,
I'm
man,
running.
I can tell you're very passionate. I love that.
Totally. Thanks, man. So give me a brief description about what your current job is like at ESPN. I guess we could start with the content associate part, what that was like, and now what you're doing with the stage manager part.
Right. So like Jordan Holloway said, because me and Holloway started in there at the same time. So we both started out, I started out in SportsCenter, but he told you the whole part about screening and everything where the circle, the computers all situated around it, right? So basically my job was the same thing. starting out cutting highlights and, you know, sort of, you know, getting led to produce my own highlights. And obviously, I think he told you about the high prods and the CPs and all that, the APs. And, you know, just cutting highlights to start. But I always had a, you know, passion for directing. You know, I always had, like, with going back to the camera work, I always had a vision. Like, I feel like I'm more of a mind of like a cinematographer. Like, the way that a camera is set up can really convey emotion or convey like a certain angle. Like, it could set the tone before the words are even said. So with that, I just wanted to see how I could, you know, get into the directing world. So starting out cutting highlights, you know, I would often get times where I would, you know, go to the control room and see my highlight run, right? So in there, I would hear the director and the assistant director, you know, talking and the way that they communicate. And, you know, I always kept my ear open and, you know, I just like always heard their communication. I was like slowly picking up like, this is definitely something I could see myself doing other than being a producer. You know, I was very versatile. So I was just like kind of just dipping my toe in anything and just seeing like, you know, the temperature was just right. So I figured that I just applied just to see like what it's like. I shadowed a few people doing stage managing. So that's like the level below assistant director. And and that was happening while I was a content associate. So, you know, it was me still cutting highlights, but I just kept it low key, kept it under the radar. And then, I eventually got promoted to stage manager where I'm at today. Cause you know, I want to direct. I want to be able to tell my story, my vision using camera work and all that. So that's where I'm at now.
Wow. That's incredible, man. And the journey to get there and being a stage manager, is that the ultimate goal? Or are you trying to be that assistant director and then make your way up in the ranks? Or are you, what's your goal, I guess, with that?
Oh, I want to direct. I want to direct, whether it's, you know, directing the award shows, like say like the Heisman or the SBs, or even direct, like maybe even get to a Super Bowl directing if I can get there. You know, it's funny that you said it, because today I went to the gym on campus, right? And I ran into one of the people that helped me get into my position where I am now. His name is Tom Lucas, phenomenal director. And he actually, you know, started out directing like studio shows, like, you know, sports centers, like the SVPs, all that. And they usually don't let people that direct, you know, studio shows direct the Heisman. So the Heisman Award show. And he was the very first director that did like studio shows to direct the Heisman, because he was so good at what he does. And like, he's like wise beyond anything. Like the way he talks about the way like camera work and the pacing of the show, it's incredible. And I ran into him and he just broke it down to me. Like, he's back on Heisman and again, coming up this year. So when you watch the Heisman Award show, that's Tom Lucas. That's the guy.
I'll be watching, man. Speaking of, who do you think's going to win the Heisman? I don't know. I don't know what's, you know, it's close. It's a lot closer, but I think Jaden Daniels has it. I think he does, but.
So I know, I don't know if people are going to be able to watch this visually, but listen, to all the people that know me, I am a diehard LSU fan. So this will be coming from a biased person. So I think you already know my answer, and it's JD5. Jaden Daniels, he's the Heisman, man. I mean, we don't get many awards. I'm saying LSU's taking home the Heisman this year.
I think he's got this locked, man. Honestly, Bo Nix, like, if they won the Pac-12 championship, I think he's got it. Penix has been iffy ever since like midseason. So I mean, honestly, the only consistent guy has been Jaden Daniels. And I think he's got it.
And the thing is, you can't rate the Heisman on defense, right? It's on the most electrifying college player. And in terms of all around QB play, running, passing, the whole nine, the way the modern game is today, it is Jaden Daniels. And don't get me wrong, Penix, he's that guy too. He's just, I don't know, the way just the more Jaden Daniels is more dynamic, and that showed in his numbers. Bo Nix, I would admit, he's probably a better pocket passer, probably a little bit more accurate. But listen, Jaden Daniels, listen, he did it with what, one wide receiver, two wide receivers at best. So I give it to Jaden Daniels.
1,000%. He's ridiculous. And I love to see him put on a highlight reel pretty much every game. I mean, running and passing. It's like he's a running back almost. It's like a mini.
It is. Honestly, listen, I don't blame it. Like, he is. It's just that's just the way it is.
He's special, that's for sure. So in terms of your work at ESPN, what made you want to do extensive work with them? What made you want to – I mean, obviously you lived in Bristol, so that was probably part of that. But what made you want to work at ESPN? Was it a childhood dream, or have you had other plans?
You know what? It's sort of like a mixture of those. Obviously, you know, I love sports. But also growing up in Bristol, you know, there was like a Little League World Series, or the regional comes down here. So you could say it was like the childhood dream, because that Little League, like Edgewood Little League, where I always say, like the field where, you know, you saw Monet Davis playing, like before she went to Williamsport, right? I played at that Little League, like for real, like that was actually my Little League. So I always used to go down there and watch all the games. And, you know, it's like I said, it's like seeing like the production and all that big stuff around, like, yeah, the baseball was great, don't get me wrong, but like seeing like how they captured it and just me being like, wow, like I'm actually down there, like it got me interested. So you could say it was a childhood dream and like and all that stuff. So, and then just being around it, you know, I drive by it damn near like every week. So it's like you're seeing it at constantly and you're like, man, like why not? Like, come on now. Yeah, that's what I would say. So
awesome. What's been your highlight? If you could sum it all up, what has been your highlight at ESPN so far?
My highlight, as in terms of just like a great highlight that I've cut, or like a great highlight?
Let's do both. Let's do both.
All right. So I'll start out with the highlight that I've cut. So this was my favorite highlight. I mean, sentimental to me is obviously my first top plays, which was that's like first top plays because, you know, you grow up watching top plays.
First top 10 plays?
I would say sentimental wise, but in terms of just great highlights, I would say my favorite one was, it was just a random, like, I think it was like a random Wednesday night, and it was Clippers versus the Kings. And it was Russell Westbrook's first game as a Clipper. So it started out, you know, just regular game, but in like the third quarter, the score was like 120 to 120. And I was like, man, this game is actually pretty good. So, like, you know, we're pressed for time too. I don't know if Alway told you, but there's like a time that's like on every rundown that you got to have. And I was originally scheduled for like 1:30. So I was like trying to, you know, keep it, you know, sort of around that range. And it just kept like blowing up. So I was like, man, I got to ask for more time. So I asked my high prop more time. And we got more time, but slowly but surely, the game was starting to creep up to like 140, 140. And I was like, man, this game is crazy. So the Clippers was up, I think, like 12 with like 3 minutes to go. And I was like, all right, just waiting for one more play, and then I could put a bow on it. So the Kings get like three steals back to back to back, and then they cut it to like four. And then more of the story is like it goes to triple OT, double OT. The game was 175, 174. I didn't leave till like 3 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
It was like a crazy overtime game. And I was just like, it just blew up. And I remember sitting back and like watching the highlight back. And I was like, I can't believe I did that. Because I cut it full. Because the Sports Center was running from L.A. So they couldn't really like cut it off in a sense. It was just a weird way. But I just ended up – I cut the whole thing. So I was like – like sitting back and seeing like that, damn, like I did that. And it was a great highlight nonetheless, getting like all the graphics put on it. But then there's multiple highlights, but that one right there, that one always sticks with me.
That is cool, man. I just the story and I guess the progression of the game and, you know, oh, I got to get this done. And then the deadline.
Right. And in terms of like the highlight of being at ESPN, you know, as much as I like would love to say, like, you know, I love my job, I love what I do, the people that I've met along the way, I would say is the best part. I mean, you meet people that are essentially like just like you and like sort of the same passion. So like when you're talking, it's just it's never like dull. Like I could shout out, like I can give a lot of shout outs to like the people that I've met in screening, like all those people sitting with me next to me. Like, I can list off the names if you want, but I got a lot of them. So just know, if you were listening to this, you know who you are. Just shout out you for making my highlight, man. That's, y'all are my highlights, for real.
Love to hear that. And I mean, you pretty much read my mind for the next question. I was literally about to ask, who has been the most influential person on you, if you could? I mean, it's a tough question. The most influential person at ESPN for your career.
Man, I couldn't name just one person. Right. Honestly, I couldn't name just one. You know what? I can absolutely name one right now. And it is my manager. Well, he was my manager, but you know, the way when I switched to a different department, he was not my manager anymore, but his name is Tom Kintner. And this guy, like, changed the trajectory of, you know, I could essentially say my life, because it's my job now. So like, this guy, Tom Kintner, like, ESPN Next set me up with a great manager, because that guy's a gem. He keeps it real. You know, he never, you know, gave up. He never, because I can't lie to you, I was in a bad rut with the way, you know, I was set up on Next. I had a bad experience on hockey. One thing I made was, like, I tried to gain the trust of my co-prods, and this is right when I started out. So, you know, I was like new. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Like, it was just, you know, just trying to feel it out. And I wasn't clicking well, right? So this guy, the way Next to set up is they set you up with a manager. And then when you get moved, you get switched to a different manager, right? Tom was like, no, like, we're not getting switched up. Like, there's just no point. We're going to see this through and we're going to make them great. And like, over those like next like 12 months when I was in SportsCenter, like, I wanted to make Tom proud, because like the way like he wanted to stick with me and the way he wanted to rock with me, like, that guy right there, like, I'll, you know, like, I text him all the time, like, just updating him, like, on what I'm doing and what I'm up to. So I would say right now, I would say it's Tom Kintner, like, the most influential.
Love it. What a great story, man. Amazing to hear. I want to know about your daily routine. And we've talked about, you know, what you do, the late hours, the 3 a.m., not getting out of the office till 3 a.m. Give me the daily routine. What's it looking like?
So the daily routine when I was a content associate was, you know, you go in on the weekdays, you're going in normally at 5 p.m. But I get there at 4:30 because, you know, I just like being early. Then you go in a meeting where you discuss, you know, what game you have for the day. You bring up any ideas. The show also brings up show traffic, how many shows, what time. Then you go in, then whenever time your game starts, you're prepping. If your game starts right away, maybe you've already prepped before. You're looking up your, you know, nuggets that you want to use, maybe in like a graphic or something. And you're going over that with your co-prod. And if your game starts, you're getting right into it. You're getting into your highlight, and then you're cut your highlight. And then, you know, maybe you have just one, maybe you have two. Sometimes you'll have two. You're going over that, and you're just going over that. You're cutting the highlight. Then you get in the edit room, and then, you know, moss it into the rundown. What else? You're still going over stuff with your co-prod, because maybe you want to add stuff. Maybe you want to take stuff out for the morning show. And by that time, you know, shoot, you're 7-8 hours in already. I know it's kind of like a quaint checklist, but believe me, it takes up time. So that's pretty much the routine. And, you know, hopefully sometimes, some nights you'll get out at 12, sometimes you'll get out at 1, some nights you'll even get out maybe 10:30, depending. So that's what it was back then. Now, as a stage manager, it just depends. So the last 3 days I've been coming in at 7, well, coming in at 6 to get ready for the 7-8 show. And then I'll stay normally till 12:30, 1 o'clock. Then if I'm coming in at like normal time, I get in at 12 and I'm out usually by 8. And now that they're adding more stage managers, the time is like three to eleven. So it definitely just varies. Like you're either early, midday, or you know, sort of late night. But you know, more or less, coming in at 12, out at 8, smooth day.
Sounds smooth. Should I be looking for any content in the next couple of days, like when I'm watching ESPN? Anything special or?
No, it's crazy. I was almost, being a stage manager, I was almost on TV. Like you almost would have seen me on the my first cameo appearance. I was supposed to hand out, you know, some drinks. It was gonna be like apple juice, but they wanted to do beer because of the Iowa bar from the Michigan game when they didn't score.
Right.
They were giving out free beer. I was supposed to give out, you know, the beers in quotation marks to Gary Streisky and Randy Scott. But you know, they killed it because you know they were gonna have a graphic going up behind them, but they didn't get it in time. But it was gonna be cool. So you know, as a stage manager, you get some chances to be on TV. Who knows? Maybe I'll be on TV one day. It was just like a stage manager position.
I'll be watching, man. So I know, from my understanding and from what you've actually said on the show, you grew up in Connecticut. So what are some of those sports teams that you're following? You got, are you a UConn fan? Are you Celtics, Patriots? What you got?
Yeah, now we're talking. All right. I love all Boston sports, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Patriots, and I know the people listening are probably groaning like he's a Boston fan, but I'm a die-hard Red Sox fan. That's number one. Love baseball. That's my number one sport. And then UConn by default, I'm in Connecticut. So I tell this story every time. My dad grew up, you know, all Boston fan, right? Except for football, he's a Raiders fan. Me, I just wanted to be, you know, keep it concise, you know, Boston. So I stick with the Patriots. Raiders are my second team. He made me like pick all Boston teams, like no questions asked, like, no, you can't be no New York teams. Okay. So I was like, all right, can I at least pick my college team? So you know how when you're in school, like elementary school, you got like those Scholastic book fairs, like you can check out books and like they'll bring them in and read them all. Right. So one of those books was on college sports back when I was in elementary school, and I saw the colors purple and gold for LSU, and I was like, well, like this is a pretty cool color scheme. I like this team now. And that's literally how I became an LSU fan. This was back in 2006. So like you can say I'm a bandwagon or not.
The year I was born, man. No, that's
you're born in 2006?
17 years old, man.
Wow.
17 years old, man.
You don't act like it, though. You don't act like it.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. So for UConn, I mean, in terms of UConn, I will say, well, we'll move to UConn in a second, but I will say I am Baltimore. My whole family's from Maryland. College Park, I'm a Terps fan. I love the Orioles. I actually worked with them this past summer.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. And I was able to, when they played the Rangers, when they got swept, I was able to work that series. So, I mean, it was an incredible experience. Probably one that was not meant for us to go to the World Series, which, you know, next year we've got a shot. I think that's great. I'm a Ravens fan, so, you know, the Patriots.
Okay. Look, the Ravens is nice.
I'm a Lamar fan. I've been one since he was at Louisville, so I've watched him pretty much his whole career. So I can definitely relate to that. UConn. I don't know, man. I mean, you guys won last year. I get it. But I don't know about this year. I don't know how it's going to be this year. I don't know if it's a back-to-back.
Listen, this is the thing. Like, it's when you – if you get to March, you got a chance. Like we had last year. We just got to March. We went on a run. People might have said it was like Mickey Mouse cupcake run. But, hey, look, we hoisted a trophy. And, like, looking back – 15 years from now, looking back, no one's going to be like, oh, yeah. They had a cupcake run. You know, we won the ship. So we won. So, like, take it as it is.
Fair and square. I totally agree. I just don't know if it'll happen again. But, you know, you never know.
It's hard to repeat. Very hard to repeat. But, look, I'm content. You know, I understand, like, how it's – repeating is hard. But as far as for you, that Baltimore, you know, for them not being in the playoffs for however many years. I think it was 9 years since he was in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was.
So for you, that's a phenomenal experience to be in Baltimore in that time frame. Like seeing like Camden Yards packed to the top must have been insane.
Oh, it was incredible. I actually have, hold on, I have just a quick video that here. This was my view.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, man.
Like that's fully like packed.
Unreal playoff.
Towels waving. I mean, incredible. And I love seeing that action.
I think I cut the game one highlight for that. So I understand the full atmosphere of that.
Oh.
I probably couldn't even understand because I wasn't there. But from seeing it on the TV.
It's definitely, it was incredible. The atmosphere was, I mean, I couldn't describe it to you. It was special. So, you know, to end things off, I've got one question for you, one last one. Mm-hmm. What's an important message of inspiration to the world and folks like me, you know, that are looking to obtain a job in the sports industry? And, you know, what are the necessary requirements to succeeding in the sports industry? How am I going to build my way up? What's your piece of advice?
My piece of advice. Oh, man. Well, first, I would say be yourself. Don't be someone you're not. Because, like, if you try to, you know, change who you are, eventually there's going to be a time come, like, when you have to be who you actually are. And, you know, you can't, the people are going to think you're acting fake when you're really not. So just be yourself, be authentic. And, you know, I got to think of, like, a real good one. Because, like, I've gotten so much advice over years. And, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, like, don't try to race to the top. Like, I know, like, you might want to be, like, moving around and, like, being stagnant. And you're like, oh, man, like, am I not, you know, like, am I not doing good? Like, trust me. Just keep going. You're doing good. Don't keep score. Just keep scoring. Like, it's a marathon. Like, enjoy the journey because, like, once you get to the top, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to look back and be like, man, like, damn, I kind of just didn't enjoy it. Maybe. I mean, if you did, like, great. But I would say, like, just treat it as a marathon. Like, it's not a race. Like, people go at their own pace, go at your own pace and enjoy it. Like, and just enjoy it. Be yourself and enjoy it.
Words of wisdom from Jordan. I appreciate you for joining me. The other Jordan from ESPN. Thank you so much for joining me on Jackson Share Sports Radio. I look forward to keeping in touch with you. After this, I definitely want to get your Instagram followed. I want to see that, the content, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Let's definitely keep in touch, man. I mean, I'll be watching ESPN. I'll be looking for you.
Hey, man, I appreciate the love and support. I mean, you already support ESPN so much as it is. So, you know, just to add me to that is humbling. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan. Have a nice night.
Exactly. Appreciate you.
Thank you. See you later. Bye-bye.
See ya.
That was Jordan Banks from ESPN. He is now a stage manager. If you made it this far, I really appreciate you joining Jackson Share Sports Radio. As you could probably tell, I've got a little bit of a cold. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the life right now. And that was an episode with Jordan Banks, former content associate and now stage manager. He's done incredible things. I can't wait to hear more. I can't wait to keep in touch. And I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode, and I'll see you in the next one. Peace out.